I'll say it Barav. There's a Gemara in Kedushin that says that a father has obligations towards his son. And one of those obligations is that a father has to teach his son to swim. So if you remember, we once said a vart from the Avnei Nezer, who is the son-in-law of the Kutzker, that the father's obligation to teach his son to swim, the essence of being able to swim is to know how to put your head in the water and to take your head out of the water. To be able to keep your head above the water is the key to not drowning when you're swimming. So the Avnei Nezer explained that in terms of a person being able to balance being in the world and being out of the world, being fully immersed in Torah, being able to come up for air. I mean, air is leaving the water in Mayim al Torah. But the water gives us chiyus. Okay, but if you're not a fish, Talmidei Chachamim are compared to fish. If you're not a fish, that means you have to breathe a little bit of regular air. You have to come out of the water once in a while. You have to balance in that way. So I was thinking, I was talking to Yoni just now, we were talking about, you know, midterms and things like that. So I was thinking, a father has an obligation to teach a child to swim. That's also Avinu Shavah Shemayim's problem. It's not only our biological parents' problem, right? But our Father in Heaven has an achrayas to teach us how to swim. So I want to turn that into a tefillah, that as everyone is trying to swim their way through the midterms and trying to survive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to keep our head above the water, and no one should drown. And Amir Tzashem will start a new sugya today. And a lot of good things. So I thank you for being here. We say in davening, I'll just tell you one other vart that I was thinking about. We say in davening, right at the beginning of Hodu, we say, Yismach Hashem, Mavak Sheleif. Yeah? Yismach Hashem, Mavak Sheleif. Yishalu B'Shem Kadshol, sorry, I said it backwards. Yismach Leif, Mavak She Hashem. Yismach Leif, Mavak She Hashem. So the Chafetz Chaim has a beautiful insight. Chafetz Chaim once said that people sometimes think, I'm not accomplishing enough. I'm not feeling successful enough. So the Chafetz Chaim said, Yismach Lev, you have what to be happy about if you're Mavakshei Hashem, even if you're a Mavakish. Even if you want. It's not always working out. Things don't always work out. Rav Moshe Shur, who was one of the great lay leaders of a Gudas Yisrael for so many years and did so many chashuv things for Klal Yisrael. A 500-page article biography about him. A remarkable person. So Rav Moshe Shur was once working very diligently, working through the court system, fighting so that there should be government funds spent on private school, on yeshiva. So much money is going to public schools, and none of the Jewish community, many who are paying a lot of taxes, are not benefiting from it. So he was working to try to get funding for yeshivos. And it climbed pretty high-ranking levels within the court system. And it didn't work out. In the end, the whole thing was months and months of efforts and pushing and trying and negotiating and working and lawyers. And in the end, nothing came of it. And he was very disappointed. It was months of his, months and months of life that were spent on this project. So there's a letter from Rav Huttner in the Igros Pachad Yitzchak that Rav Huttner wrote to Moshe Shur. And he says to him, you put in all this effort and you think it didn't add up to anything. I was gonna bring the letter in on Sunday and learn it together, but a chunk of it's in Yiddish, so I figured I'll just tell it to you now. So he says to him, well, you think because you made all these efforts and you didn't see the fruits of your labor, so it wasn't worth anything? He says, think about Akedas Yitzchak. We're always drawing on the schus of Akedas Yitzchak. Yikam Yom Noram, we're so busy, piyutim, slichos, the Akeda, Hashem, look what we did. So if Hunter says, let me let you in on a little secret. The Akedah never happened. It was called off. And yet we're banking on it as if it was like the greatest thing that was ever accomplished. Even though it wasn't accomplished. Now, of course, the Medrash says, in a pnimiya stick away, Avram accomplished it with Machshava, and it was Kilu, it was done. But Lamaisa, when a person works at something and feels like it didn't work out, you shouldn't think it was for naught. Akedah Yitzchak, which is our biggest schus, never happened, if Hunter says. So he says to Moshe, sure, don't think you spent months working on this and it was a brachah levatala. Don't think that those efforts were lost. Same way when a person davens a tefillah and it doesn't work out. Right, so you think, what was the point of that? I davened this person to get better, they didn't get better. So the tzaddikim say, look at the shoresh of tefillah. Look at Avram davening for stone. That didn't work out. And that's the source. The Gemara in Brachos points to Avram Avinu standing looking at the rubble of stone, right? Amida, ain't Amida ala tefila. That's the source of tefila. Avram was tikkun shachris. So says the Maharid. Rabbi Yisachar Dov of Belz, and Rav Tzadok in the Pre Tzadok, in this past week's Parsha, in Simon Hay, in Os Hay, says the same thing. So what do you see from here? The Shorash of Tefillah is a Tefillah that didn't work out the way that the person who davened it wanted it to work out. But that doesn't mean it didn't work out. That doesn't mean that it didn't work out. So a person has to realize, again, what the Chavetz Chaim said, is that what? The Yismach Lev, a heart to rejoice if Mevakshei Hashem. If you're trying, and maybe you feel like you're drowning. So we say, Avinu Shebaa Shemayim, one of the obligations of a parent is to teach a child how to swim. So Hashem, don't let us drown. Help us make our way through these challenging days. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, give us the ratzon that we need to survive. Just tell you one remez. Poseach es yodecha v'spil l'chol chai ratzon. We say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, open your hand and give us and grant our desires. Poseach es yodecha u'masbil l'chol chai ratzon. To give every person their desires. I have needs, I have wants. Hashem, grant my wants, grant my desires. On a deeper level, the Svarim HaKadoshim say, Poseach es yodecha, open up your hand to Kadosh Baruch Hu, u'masbil l'chol chai, and give me ratzon. Give me ratzon. Give me desire. Desire that I should want to be a Talmud Chacham. Will I become a Talmud Chacham? I don't know. Will I ever conquer my Yitzhahara? I don't know. But I should at least want to. I should at least be, you know, on my bucket list of things to do in my life to defeat that Yitzhahara, whatever it is. So, Chavra, what's the one day of the year that every Jew does a good job? We've spoken about this in the past. The day where every Jew has a ratzon. Yom Kippur. Rav Moshe Wolfson says, the gematria of Yom Kippur is gematria rotzeh ani, I want. And that's not just a random phrase, that's the famous Rambam, at the end of the second parak of Hilchos Gerushin, the recalcitrant husband who doesn't give his wife a divorce, we beat him up until he says the magic phrase, Rotze Ani, I want to give the get. So the Rambam says, that's Rotze Ani, you forced him to give it, isn't that called the get, Al Yedei Kfiyah? No, the Rambam says, a chassidus shavar. The Rambam says, no, deep down inside, he wants to do what's right. So when he says the magic words, Rotze Ani, that's the biggest giloy from the omek of his being, from the depth of who he is. So Rav Wolfson says, Rotze Ani, I believe it's 362, is Gematria Yom Kippur. Because that's the day of Rotze Ani. But however, what's going to be with the other 364 days of the year? The Gemara says that there's one day of the year, the Gemara in Yoma says, there's one day of the year the Satan doesn't bother us. What day is that? Yom Kippur. But HaSatan is Gematria 364. That's the Gemara, that's not my remnant, this is the Gemara. The Gemara in Yoma says, HaSatan is Gematria 364, because the other 364 days of the year, he's going to try to get you. One day of the year, right, we're able to say Rotzani, I want. But I need chizik for the other 364 days. So we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu poseach es yodecha, u'masbil l'chol chai ratzon. Kadosh Baruch Hu, give me a ratzon. Yismach li mevakshei Hashem, says the Chavetz Chaim. If you're a mevakish, you have what to celebrate. If you even care to try, there's what to be excited about. So I think you can say the following remez. Poseach es yodecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, open your hand. U'masbil l'chol chai, I want to be a chai, I want to be alive, and I need ratzon. Yeah, I need ratzon. So I want to be chai. I know if I don't have ratzon, I'm not really alive. If I don't have a ratzon, if I don't have a goal, if I don't have a drive, I'm not trying to do anything with my life, and I'm not even alive. So I as a chai, if I want to be chai, I need ratzon. So what's the gematria of chai ratzon? That Hashem should give ratzon to the chai. It's the gematria of chai plus ratzon. You have a new kavanah when you say asher every day. Ratzon is 346. Right? 346 plus Chai is 18 is 364. So Hashem, Yom Kippur, the Gemara tells me I get a free day, a free pass. Rav Wolfson says Yom Kippur's day equals Gematria Rotzani. Yom Kippur, it's easy to want it. Satan doesn't bother me. But the Gemara in Yoma says, HaSatan, the other 364 days he's going to be going after. He's going to try to take away your Ratzon. So Chai Ratzon's Gematria 364. Hashem, I need help the other 364 days. Yom Kippur, you're going to help me out. Yom Kippur, the Satan's not going to start up with me. But there's one day, that's only one day. 364 days, Chai needs Ratzon. If I want to be alive, I need help. And that's what we're saying. Hashem, you have so much you could give us. Give us the Ratzon. Help us to want. Yeah.
But what about those people who do, like, eat a cheeseburger on Yom Kippur?
What about people that don't? All right, Yom Kippur's the day that everyone wants. Okay. So he wants in the same way that the husband wants to give his wife a get.
You can clap off him.
If I beat him up, then that's interesting. You just said a new pshat.
Thank you.
When a Jew claps al chay, what he's doing is he's kofen osoach yom harotzan. He's hitting himself until he says, okay, I want. He's beating himself up. He's smacking himself until he says, I want. So we took that Jew with the cheeseburger, and we beat the pintle out of them. Every Jew wants. Even a Jew who doesn't keep Yom Kippur. It's a good question. I mean, we're saying that's the day everyone shows up. Yeah, many people who don't do anything else show up. And what about those people who dafka do averos on Yom Kippur? They want it the most. I don't know. It's ever for shleim. I don't know what to say. We don't give up on Jews. At least that's what I think. Okay, so let's see. So we were talking yesterday, speaking of not giving up on Jews, and every Jew having a desire. It doesn't matter what I did yesterday, and it doesn't matter what I'm going to do tomorrow. We spoke of Rabbi Nachman's concept of Hayom. Hayom in Bekolo Tishma. Today, if you'll listen to my voice. Yeah, anyone need a copy? Anyone not have a copy of the pages? Yeah? I have plenty. But just hold on to them. If you need, just raise your hand. We'll send you one. Okay, and we learned the Rambam. The Rambam, we said a Kohen who does Averos, is still able to Dochen. And we learned the Vilna Gaon, who said to the heretic, you think because you've declared yourself off the derech, you don't need to make a bracha on your apple. You're still a Jew. And when he heard that, I'm still a Jew and I can't escape, he decided to think about it. And he was, in the end, he was chozer b'tshuva. And the Rambam wrote in this famous Igeras HaShema that even your Ravim ben Navar, who's doing Avodah Zarah, not just doing Avodah Zarah, spreading Avodah Zarah, that your Ravim ben Navar is going to have to answer one day for the fact that he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. And again, we spoke about the importance of being Mechazik, a Jew, to try to get them to do something. Whether it's putting on tefillin, whether it's lighting Shabbos candles, whether it's saying Shema, right? Tell your friend, you know, it's been a long time since you said the magic phrase, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Say those six words. Yeah, start over, start from the beginning. It's the Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis of a Jew's life is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Remember what told you the Maisa, the Rebbe of Zvil, of Shlomo of Zvil, once said, all I know in life is the Aleph Beis. I don't know anything else. He said, Rebbe, you know, you're amazing tzaddik, you're filled with Torah. Right? He says, no, my whole life is, all I know is Aleph Beis. Aleph is Amuna and Beis is Bitachon. That's all I know. So the Aleph Beis of a Jew's life, is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So if you can get someone to say that, right? I'm not asking you to daven shacharis, I'm not asking you to put on tefillin. I'm asking you to take 3 seconds out of your day and once a day say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that's the Aleph Beis. That's where it all begins. Person does that, and then Mirat Hashem, it grows, it snowballs into other things. Yeah? What's the gematria of Aleph Beis? Spell out the letters. Spell out Aleph Beis. How do you spell Aleph? How do you spell the letter Aleph Lamed Pei? How do you spell Lamed? I'm spelling it. You hear what I'm doing? Aleph Beis. Spelling out the letters. Aleph Lamed Pei. Beis Yud Tav. I'll just tell it to you for now. It's a long one to do. If you do it the right way, it's 1,118, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because the Aleph Beis of a Jew, spell out Aleph Beis. Aleph, Lamed, Pei. You spell out the letters, it's 1,118, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because that's the Aleph Beis of a Jew. So if you can get a Jew, just to say the word Aleph and Beis, that's also good. You got to do something. A Jew has to know that he's a Jew no matter what. No matter what he does, he's always a Jew. I'll show you how to cheshbon it later. No, regular. Aleph, Lamed, Pei, Beis, Yud, Tav. Is 1118. Check it. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, so we're on page Chav Zion. Let's go weiter.
It's 600 something.
All of Lamed Pei is
111. And 402.
No, spell out each letter. Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei.
It's Mole twice.
Spelling out the letter. Aleph. Aleph Lamed Pei. Okay. Okay, so you'll check it. You'll see if it's 1118. Okay, so says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, Shlita, Ein Rishus LaHa'avar LaHaros HaSa'asid. You can't allow your past to destroy your future. Nimsa Sha'ach V'rak Daiga Sa'avar Hi Bo'ochreinu Milizchadish U'lizkadim Bavadosu Yisbarach. We have to be so careful. We cause ourselves to become so confused by our past and so much held back by our past that we're not able to progress and to move forward and to start new. Ve'im Asai Sha'adam Gomer B'daitu LaHaschil La'avod esboro, when a person decides that I want to start over, what's going to happen? That cynical part of himself called the Yetzirah is going to start laughing. Miyad misgolim alav chavilos shel kishlonos ha'avar verotzim letardo ulerumso kalil rachman alislam. The second he decides, I'm changing my ways. So the Yetzirah says, you're a jokester. Like the Yid we spoke about yesterday in Waco, Texas, who one Friday afternoon decided to go to the mikvah. And the Yetzirah laughed at him and said, you're a clown because you're going to the movies tonight and you're eating cheeseburgers and you're living with your non-Jewish girlfriend. So since when do you go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos? So immediately when a person has this desire to start over, Right? Again, miyad misgolelim alav. Immediately it comes pouring down, comes rolling upon him. Chavilos and chavilos, mountains and mountains, piles and piles of kishlonos. Like kishlonos, michshol, of stumbling blocks. And kishlonos from his past that want to crush him and want to destroy him completely. Right? L'rom so chalil, rachman al-aslan, to trample him completely. Bishosha avar kvar inu biyado. And the irony is there's nothing you can do about it. Of course, there's tshuva, which can redefine the past. But in terms of just feeling bad about it, just like sitting there, you know, being paralyzed about my present and my future because of my past, that's a horrible thing. Bishosha avar kvar inu biyado. I can't deal with the past right now. Ve'ein reshus le'elef. Le'elef shanos ha'avar, she'inan biyado, la'aros af rega kameimra, echad shalahove. And I can't allow 1,000 years of the past, which are no longer in my hand, la'aros, to completely destroy a single moment, a rega kameimra echad shalahove, to lose out on a single moment of right now. Why should my past, when did I lose my right to be a Jew? And the answer is I didn't. So I can't allow anything in my past to stop me from doing the right thing right now. Shehu rechosh ha'shayichlo. Uviyado lemaloso betoro v'tfila. That this is the gift that I've been given right now, and I have a right to do what I want in Torah and Tefillah v'chulu. Now, in parentheses, he has an amazing, amazing, amazing insight from the Tiferes Shlomo, from the Rebbe of Radomsk. Rav Shlomo HaKohen from Radomsk says the following: Ka'oso pisgam hamuva b'Tiferes Shlomo Shabbos Shuva. Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. However, what's the klal in halacha? Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. What does that mean? You don't pass up a mitzvah, right? It has a lot of implications in terms of the order of doing mitzvahs, in terms of choosing to do something else other than a mitzvah. Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvahs. So says the Rebbe of Radomsk, it's an amazing vart. Ein choshvim me'averos ha'avar b'shas kiyam ha'mitzvahs. Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvahs. Don't bring your averos into the mitzvah. Don't allow your averos of the past to impact the mitzvah that you're performing right now. Right? Or ein ma'avirin is also a lashon of avar. Right? It's a lashon of avera, it's a lashon of avar. Don't allow your past averos to get in the way of your current mitzvah performance. Rather, just the opposite. If a person wants to properly engage with his past, you know what the best way to deal with your past is? Start doing good things right now. Grab onto the moment that you do have in your hand right now, and think big, think about all the mitzvahs you're going to do, Amir Tashem, up ahead, right around the corner, and through the good deeds you're going to do moving forward, you're going to rectify everything you did wrong in the past. And in that way, you'll be able to escape from listening to the Yetzer Hara, who's trying to cause you to stumble, who's trying to blind your eyes from being able to do what you need to do, and to cause you to be sunken into a state of despair. And to destroy your future. So what? You're an immature kid. You didn't realize in the past. You didn't know what you know today. Okay, like we learned in Kedusha Slavi this past week. Had I known yesterday what I know today, it would have been a different type of Jew yesterday. Okay, but I didn't know. Mice, I didn't know. And now I do know. So let's move forward. Al tabir acharecha. Don't become a pillar of salt. Don't get stuck looking back. And now he quotes from Rabbi Nachman. Va'ayin l'lekute ma'aran, in Torah Chav Zayin. Kishenichnas ha'adam, be'adam, hir hurim ra'im, v'hu mishaber ta'avasa. When a person has all sorts of improper thoughts. And again, improper thoughts doesn't just mean perverted, lewd, you know, arayos thoughts, right, or heretical thoughts. Improper thoughts means thinking that I can't serve Hashem now because of what I did yesterday. When a person has all sorts of hirhurim, and he works, right, on a more pashtut level, he has a taiva, and he works to break that taiva, b'zehu mapik u'motze chelki ha'kedusha shehipil al yedei pagam habris. When a person makes the right choice, it's not just that he didn't do the wrong thing now. The right choice now corrects the wrong choice yesterday. So instead of looking at yesterday and letting yesterday define now, let's look at now, seize the moment, and use that to redefine yesterday. Let's see what that means. We have to explain what that means. Hainu lo rak sheyesh biyado es osa his gabras al hirurav. Meaning it's not just that you're getting credit right now that you conquered the Yitzhak. You had a taiva right now and you defeated that taiva. That's gavaldik. That's great. But it's not only that you made the right choice now, and that operates independently from yesterday. But you're able to fix all the broken things from the past through the right thing now. In a totally different context, the Chassam Sofer has a piece, I don't remember where it is, somewhere in his writings on Chumash, where he says sometimes a person davens Shmon Esrei day after day after day without Kavana. And your Shmon Esrei doesn't go anywhere. Right? Zohar says that a person who does mitzvahs without Tehillu, Rechimu, without Ava and Yira, right, without Yira and Ava, Tehillu, Rechimu, without Yira and Ava, it doesn't have wings. Famous mice, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, once walked into a particular shul, and he said, I can't daven here, this shul is, you're so filled with tefillos. They said, if it's so filled with tefillos, it sounds like it's a good place to daven. He said, no, it's filled with tefillos because everyone who davens here doesn't daven with Ava Sashem or Yira Sashem. And the tefillos don't have wings, like the Zohar says. And none of the tefillos can go up to Shemayim. So the place is so stuffy, it's filled with tefillos. All these dead tefillos that have nowhere to go. So Chassam Sofer says, a person can sometimes daven for a long time, years of their life. And then one time, they daven a perfect Shmon Esrei. And perfect could just mean that they had a little bit of Kavana. Perfect for their Madrega, yeah? After years and years of dead Shmon Esreis, one day you're really into it. You know what happens? So it's not that today I daven. All those other times I didn't daven, and really daven, and today I really daven. The Chassam Sofer says that when that tefillah goes up, it takes up all the other tefillahs with it. All those other tefillahs that didn't have wings jump on the back of that tefillah, and they soar up to the Shemayim. So that one tefillah could rectify that whole year's worth of bad tefillahs. So says Rabbi Nachman, that one time you defeat the Yetzirah could bring a tikkun for all those times you didn't. It's not that this time I got it right, and all the other times I got it wrong. It could be when I got it right, it's so powerful that it carries along, it brings up with it all of the broken pieces from all of my failures. And it's metakin something. Yeah?
This idea based off the idea that when we pass through, we're going to get a team cashbow, we're going to get an accounting also for the investment.
I mean, I don't know if it's based off of that, but I think it's obviously connected to it. Sure. And din v'cheshbon, the way the Vilna Gaon explained din v'cheshbon, the Vilna Gaon said din is what you do with your life, cheshbon is what you could have done with your life. Right? So there's a double accounting for everything that we do. I spoke Lashon Hara, and I could have, in that time, I could have used that same power of speech to have a conversation with Hashem. So it's a double avera. I did bad, and I didn't do good. And I think the flip side is what he's saying here. When I conquer my Yitzhara, it's a double reward. I made the right choice now, and for all those other times I made the wrong choice, I didn't make that choice. Right? So I'm fixing all those times that I made that bad choice. I drag them along and I lift them up. But let's see a little further. We have to understand how this works a little bit. He quotes in the bottom paragraph from the Panim Yafos. Panim Yafos in Bereshis, when it talks about Cain feeling frustrated by his failures, and Cain's feeling stuck, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Cain, what are you doing? Right? Pick yourself up. If you move forward, you'll be okay. And if you get stuck here, right? Then sin is crouching at your door. You're going to destroy yourself. You got to move on. You killed your brother. You did a horrible thing. You were the first murderer of all time. And you're going to have to wander in Gullus. And you're going to have to be afraid for your life. That's all true. But you got to keep moving. Maybe that's even the pshat. Maybe that's the pshat. Like Hashem tells Cain, right, you're going to be novenut. You have to wander around. Because when you're doing a very, you just feel stuck. You feel depressed. I can't move. So Hashem says, you, the murderer, keep moving. Right? Of course, that's a punishment on a simple level. He's exiling him. He's to wander aimlessly. Right? But you could say there's a chizik in that. Don't get stuck. Just keep going weiter. A Jew has to keep pushing ahead. So says the Panim Yafos. B'maimer ha-mishnah ha-be-ratzel mitzvah u-bereach ben aveir. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says a person should run to a mitzvah and should flee, bereach, should run away from an aveir. Yeah? When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, however, they didn't walk out of Mitzrayim. They ran out of Mitzrayim. Paro found out, ki barach ha-am. Paro found out that they were running. There's a diuk in the Tanya. The Tanya, I think, I don't remember where it is. Maybe Parak Lamed Aleph or something like that. The Tanya is Medayik Ki Barach. When you leave Mitzrayim, you got to run. The first piece in Rav Tzadok Sidkas HaTzadik. Right? Pesach Mitzrayim versus Pesach Ledoros. Pesach Ledoros, you don't have to eat B'chipazon. There's not that same rush. Pesach Mitzrayim, you're sitting there, your shoes are on, your staff is in your hand, you're ready to run. The second you've got a chance, Ki Barach, you got to run. So when you encounter an Aveira, a person has to be Boreach Min Aveira. Right? You don't negotiate. You don't negotiate with terrorists. And the Yitzhara comes to you and starts giving you a whole calculation why it makes sense. Get the heck out of there. Just run for your life. Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, how did he defeat Eshes Potiphar? because he ran. He left his shirt behind and he ran for his life. And that's why he was matzliach. So the Mishnah says, be boreach from an avera. And the Mishnah goes on to explain, shischar mitzvah mitzvah, v'schar avera avera. Yeah? You want to sing it, Isaac? Come on.
He loves this song.
I know. Yeah. I was looking out to see who's going to be the first one who's bopping along. Okay, so schar mitzvah mitzvah and schar avera is an avera. Okay. V'ayin sham, look in the words of the Panim Yafus, shemevar the hod avera goreres avera, who lefisha b'maisa avera nosan koach li'itzahara mikoach ha-kedusha asher yesh ba'adam. Chavar HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life. Poseach es yadecha v'asviya l'chol, chai ratzon. Hashem gives us ratzon, Hashem gives us chiyos. What happens when that chiyos, when that energy slips into the wrong hands? What happens when our enemies take hold of our weapons, which we could use to protect ourselves? They turn into a source of threat for us. Right? They become threatening to our very existence. So when the Yetzirah causes us to do an Avera, when a person is doing an Avera, he's taking his koach, he's taking his chiyus, and he's giving it to the Yetzirah. He's nosing koach the Yetzirah, mikoach ha-kedush asher yesh ba'adam. He's giving away his energy, his life. Ki kol koach hara, hu me'anitzot ha-kedush shabo. How does the Yetzirah survive? We learned about this when we learned the Igaris HaTshuva from the Baal HaTanya, right? The Yetzirah thrives and survives. He lives off of the Kedusha, which is inside of you. When you feed him, when you give away the Chalkei HaNefesh, when you give away part of your life, like we learned in the Aruch HaYom last year, in Parshas Vayechi, right? Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, he's losing strength. He recognizes that my days are running out. He can sense that my Nitzot HaKadosh is starting to extinguish. So a person has X number of Nitzotos, right? Sparks of Kedusha inside of himself. That makes up the days of his life. But when I give those kochos over to the Yetzirah, so then what happens? Uvezeh ha-koach u'ba lachtil shenis. Again, it's a double aveira. Every aveira is a double aveira. Every mitzvah is a double mitzvah. What's the double aveira? the surface aveira is that what? Is that I did the aveira. Hashem said, don't eat cheeseburgers, and I ate a cheeseburger. Right? But the secondary problem with that is through eating the cheeseburger, I gave over my sparks of Kedusha to the Yetzirah. I've given more energy. I fed the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah thrives on cheeseburgers. I fed him a cheeseburger. Now he has more energy. And what's he going to do with that energy? He's going to go after me a second time. So that's avera goreres avera. Every time you do an avera, you did what was wrong by going against the Devar Hashem. You didn't listen to Hashem. But you also gave your energy to the Yetzirah. You fed the Yetzirah, which is going to give him the chizik that he needs to come after you again. Okay, turn the page. Top of Chaf Ches. V'im yiskaber pam shenis al Yitzro. Vishav menachet. But what happens if he comes back at you that second time? And the second time you actually put down your foot and you say no. Even though you empowered him to come after you. But if you stop him that second time, then not only did you make the right choice again in the moment, you didn't eat the second cheeseburger, but you steal back, what? That nitzutz of Kedusha. You steal back that spark of life. You take it away from him by refusing to give in to him. You take that fallen bit of holiness and you restore it to the side of holiness. When a person fights back the second time, so not only again is he making the right choice now, but he's benefiting from that original nefila, because now he has a double mitzvah. Not only did I make the right choice, but I stole away a nitzitz of Kedusha from the Sitra Achra. V'zesh amro have a boreach min avera. And that's what it means, run away from an avera. What does it mean, from the avera? Ki ha-koach shabal av achshav hu mikoach avera sh'asa kvar. Run from the avera means what? It doesn't say you run from the Yetzirah. It says run from the avera. Because that avera, right, was created by you. You created that second avera. When you made that first bad choice, you gave energy to the Sitra Achra, you created that second avera. And if you can overcome it, you'll bring it back into the side of Kedusha. There's another Orach Chaim that we learned last year. Remember, it says when a person goes out to battle, right? Kitetze lemilchama. What parsha is Kitetze lemilchama? Kitetze, right? Wrong. Because the first Kitetze lemilchama is at the end of Shoftim. And that's where the Orach Chaim is. That's your question. I'm sorry, that was mean. So Kitetze lemilchama, when you go out to fight against your enemies the first time, you have to be careful. It always like happens, you know, Shabbos, Mincha, when you start reading, right? Parshas Shoftim, that Shabbos, that Mincha, when you start to read Parshas Kisetze, And the Baal Korei points to the wrong Kiseitse, and then everyone's like, whoa, Kiseitse Mechavad, he's actually like, what? And I was looking at their sitter, like, that's not. It's a parak right before. So when you go out to fight your enemy, what do you see? What does it say? You see an Am Rav Mimcha, you see a nation that's much bigger than you. Sus Varechev, you see all sorts of enemies. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, when you go out to battle and you see what? Am Rav Mimcha. How does he teach it? The way we learned the other day. Mimcha. An Am Rav, you see a big army, Mimcha, it's from you. You created that army. You created all that, you created all those enemies. Right? You gave that power of your life, you gave that chiyus, that kedusha, to the Sitracha. So now, you've got to steal it back. You really need to win this war. Because you've created the enemy. You've become your worst enemy. So that's what he's saying here. That's what the Panim Yafas is saying here. Right? Boreach min ha'avera, run away from the avera you created. Right? The Yetzirah came at you the first time. But you fed him, you energized him to come at you a second time. And if you can beat him the second time, then you'll be able to bring back that koach, that spark, into the side of Kedusha. Okay, it's in Parsha Shoftim. Okay, let's go to the second paragraph on page Chavchas. V'achush meid ki al pi rov machshavos v'atzvonos ha'avar ina matridim es ha'odim lo b'shas achilaso. Listen to this. This is really important. He says, our senses testify to the fact that these types of thoughts, feeling bad about my averos and feeling sad and depressed about my past, they don't bother me when I'm eating. They don't bother me when I'm doing business. They don't bother me when I'm playing basketball. They don't bother me when I'm hanging out with the chevra. Right? When do they bother me? When did all of a sudden I start getting so sensitive about my past? When I start doing mitzvahs. I start to daven, and all of a sudden, the Yetzirah says, remember what happened? I sit down to open a sefer to learn, oh, remember what happened? So why is the Yetzirah starting up with me dafka? If this thing is something that I should be so concerned with, so why doesn't it bother me all the time? You know why it's bothering me when I'm trying to move forward? Because that's exactly what the Yetzirah is trying to do, stop me from moving forward. He says, specifically, in Be'ez Lima the Torah, or B'Shas Chesmon HaNefesh, or V'Yichud B'Shas HaTzfilah, especially during davening, and all sorts of machshavas pop into a person's mind. Shaz Misgabra Lav Itzvon Be'irvav Hadas. And all of a sudden, the Yetzirah starts up with you. There's a vart from Rav Gad Eisner, Rav Gadol Eisner. We mentioned him in the past, the survivor of the Holocaust, Mashkiach in the Chedush Erim Yeshiva, the Ger Yeshiva, originally in Tel Aviv. Passed away without any children, but had thousands and thousands of Talmidim. So there's a sefer called Mesilas Gad. And the Mesilas Gad, it says, he has an entry. I think that the topic of the entry was Yetzirah, but I don't remember for sure. And he says an amazing point. It's very similar to this. He says, why is it that the Yetzirah always tries to talk me out of things, right, when I'm doing something that I think is good? The Yetzirah comes to you, you're doing a mitzvah. And the Yetzirah comes to you and says, nah, it's not worth doing the mitzvah. So says Rav Gad Eisner, ask Yetzirah, why did you show up? Like, why all of a sudden are you here? Like, you weren't bothering me at all. All of a sudden, now you're showing up to convince me why this is not worthwhile. The very fact that you're here proves that it is worthwhile. The very fact that you're starting up with me is the biggest proof in the world that what I'm doing is meaningful. Someone once said to the Chavetz Chaim, I'm not having success in my business. Chavetz Chaim said, just start learning in between your customers, and you'll have tons of customers. Because Yetzirah will send you customers to get you to stop learning. Kachala. Right? He said, you sit there all day with the newspaper, Yetzirah doesn't bother you. You sit with a sefer, Yetzirah is going to send you plenty of business. And that's what happens. So when a person says, I'm davening now, and all of a sudden Yetzirah is starting up with you, that's the biggest proof that what you're doing is meaningful. That's the biggest proof in the world that what you're doing is important. Yeah? So dafki, you're davening, you're learning, all of a sudden Yetzirah is causing a whole bilbul in your head. He quotes from Rabbi Nachman in Lakutim Aran in Simon Laman Ozayin. Rabbi Nachman explains that Tefillah nikres Tehila. Tefillah is called Tehila. What does that mean, Tehila? Kamosha Namar Umalachav Yasim Tehila. Tehila, he says, is a lashon of Irvuf. Tehila means a mixing of things, a blending of things. Why? Imneshaoz Daika Ba'amalav Irvuvim Ubilbulim. Dafka Tefillah, my mind is racing. My mind is all over the place. Sometimes during davening, a person is traveling the whole world. I once told you a vart. I don't know who they say it. A shame. But tzaddikim say that when we say in Lam Natzeach, by Asher Yuval Etzion, what do we say? We say Eilav Arecha ve'Eilav Asusim v'Nachnu b'Shem Elokeinu Nazkir. Eimakar v'Nafal v'Chul. Yeah. When a non-Jew wants to travel the world, the tzaddikim say Eilav Arecha. They get a caravan, You get a horse, you take a plane, you take a cruise on a boat, yeah? If a non-Jew wants to travel the world, how does he travel the world? Eila, them? Berechev, asusim, a train, a plane, a boat, whatever. Vanachnu, how do we travel? B'shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir, we start to talk to Hashem, we're traveling the whole world. We're all over the place. Yeah, the pancake, right? We're all over the world. Yeah? The Berditcher walked over to someone once after Shmon Esrei and said, welcome back. Welcome back from where? I said, oh, you were here, you were there, you know? Travel the whole world. In Leipzig by the marketplaces. Yeah, you were at the baseball game. Yeah, you were here, you were there. Right? Hashem said, you're going to get the Olam Emes. And Hashem says, let's look at your Shmon Esrei. Let's review your Shmon Esrei together. He hands you a piece of paper. And he said, this isn't my Shmon Esrei. This is my English paper. He's like, exactly. All Shmon Esrei, you're working on your English paper. You know, so they travel, right? They get on a boat, have to get on a train, get to get on a plane. We're flying all over the place. But Rabbi Nachman says that's what tefillah is. And if you understand it properly, tzaddikim say, the reason those thoughts are coming to you is that you can fix them through your tefillah. They're not coming to take you away from tefillah. Right? That thought, which was improper, is now coming to join you during Shmona Esrei so that you can elevate it, that you can rectify it. You can fix it. You can push it out of your mind now, and you steal back that nitzas of Kedusha. So he says, right after the parentheses, "U'mizeh ha-machshavos halalu matridos haso b'yoser beis ha-tfilah v'avodas Hashem." And the fact that it doesn't bother you when you're eating, and it doesn't bother you when you're trying to fall asleep at night, and it doesn't bother you when you're playing basketball, and it doesn't bother you when you're working on your homework, but it dafka bothers you when you're trying to be a yid, that's the biggest proof in the world. Os v'simen hu, she'enim el m'maisa bal davar la'friyum el me'avodas baro. It's the biggest proof in the world that it's the Yetzirah trying to stop you from doing something meaningful. Because you don't bother me, Yetzirah, except when I'm trying to learn Torah. Or I'm trying to daven. I'm trying to work on myself. That's the biggest proof in the world, right, that what I'm doing is purposeful. Thank you for reminding me how purposeful it is. The fact that you showed up is a big proof that what I'm doing is an important thing. Okay, let's do one more paragraph. one more section. Uvidoreinu ata roim, the bottom paragraph from Peshchav Ches. Uvidoreinu ata roim shebilbulim ke'elu hina me'atachsisim u'mutzlachim ha'mutzlachim, b'yoser shal bal davar. We see that in our times, one of the greatest weapons, one of the greatest techniques, the most successful technique of the bal davar, it means the Yetzer Hara, is exactly this. V'emzehu oshek v'gozel hamon hamon avodos kedoshos u'maisim tov. The Yetzer Hara comes and he bothers us and he gets us to stop thinking that we have a right to do what's right. We don't feel worthy because of our past. And he steals thousands and thousands and thousands of mitzvahs and good deeds from us. You need to work on this. You need to spend time convincing yourself that I have a right to serve Hashem. And now he quotes an amazing thing from Rav Uri of Strelitz. From the Imre Kodesh of Rav Uri of Strelitz. The Sarov Mistrelitz, Rav Uri of Strelitz. Amru Chazal. Rav Uri was a big tzaddik. They say about Rav Uri, the Scholar Rebbe, the present Scholar Rebbe, writes in his sefer Hakima Beramiza, Parshas Bereishis. He says that Rav Uri of Strelitz, when he would drink coffee or tea, he would hold a sugar cube in his hand. The tzaddik himself, he never put it in, but he'd always wanted the sugar cube and he'd hold it in his hand. And he would drink his coffee or his tea. And then when he was done, he'd put the sugar cube down on the table. So the chassidim would come, they'd want to take it. They would take it. Shirayim from the Rebbe. But they put it in their mouth and it wouldn't taste like anything. They could never figure out what that was about. Right? Because the tzaddik, you see, by Matan Torah, by Kabbalah Satorah, right, the senses were all out of whack in the best way possible. Right? We were able to see sounds, we were able to hear sights. Everything was mububah. The Scholar Rebbe brings it in Parshas Bereishis to explain what happened by the Chet Eitz Hadas. When the Nachash pushed Chava into the tree and she touched the tree, she said, now I ate from the tree. By touching the tree, I ate from the tree. They say, if Rav Uri of Strelitz could eat a sugar cube with his hands, then I'm sure Adam and Chava could taste the tree just by touching a tree. So the Nachash pushed Chava, she touched the tree. She said, I'm already ruined. Why? You didn't eat. I did eat. I touched. Touching is sometimes eating. Even in Chumash sometimes, it talks about using some negiyah when it comes to eating. Right? So Rav Uri of Strelitz was a very big person. He was a person who people saw open miracles by. So Rav Uri says the following. We know from the end of Masechta Sota that one of the signs of the end of days is an increase in chutzpah, which means that the world, people can say whatever they want about whoever they want. Yeah, People don't talk about George Washington the way they talk about Donald Trump. I hate to break it to you. That's chutzpah yaske. Who carries the president? I'm entitled to my opinion. I can say whatever I want about it. Yeah? But part of that chutzpah, of course, is a holy chutzpah. Explains Rav Uri Estralis, Perish. Afilu ish mi Yisrael asher yareik mi Torah maisim tovim. You know what type of chutzpah you need to have? You have to have the chutzpah after staying up too late on Motzei Shabbos and doing things you shouldn't have done to get up Sunday morning and to go to davening and to come to shir. That's a chutzpah. Hashem says, make up your mind. What's your problem? You're all over the place. Remember what Hashem put at the entrance to Gan Eden when he kicked us out? When I say us, when I mean Adam, the all-inclusive us. He put what? Acherev ha-misapeches. Alat acherev misapeches. Some type of revolving fiery sword guarding the entrance to Gan Eden. The tzaddikim explained that spinning sword is the bilbil of a person who's just like spinning. Right? Outside of Gan Eden, Hashem says, you can be all over the place. And it's a fiery sword. You can be fired up for big levers, you can be fired up for big mitzvahs. Yerushalmi and Shkalim says, Jews are crazy. The Jewish people are crazy. You ask them for donations for Cheda Egel, and they give generously. You ask them for donations for yeshiva, and they give generously. Right? You pull them in this direction, they're into it. Chet Egel is schmack, it's slavus, you know? Passionate Avodah Zarah. You pull them into the base measures, you get them fired up, passionate mitzvahs. We're crazy. We're crazy people, yeah? And especially the ikvahs of the Meshichal, the more so. Acherev misapeches. You have people who are mechali Shabbos one moment and like, you know, finishing off Tehillim like the next day. Right? It's a Rav Kook. Maimer Hador, you know? We're kulo chayiv and kulo zakai. One of our babysitters, who's now in Eretz Yisrael, she's the babysitter for us in Bergenfield, so she's in Israel for the year now, so she sent me an email the other day with like 10 questions. So one of her questions was, she said, if the Gemara says that you can bring Mashiach through doing Averos, so I said, like, why are we like even trying to do mitzvahs? Let's just all be terrible, and then Mashiach will come. Right? Mashiach either will be totally good or will be totally bad. So I said, it requires a little explanation, but Rav Kook says we are totally good and we're totally bad. Right? And if you can't relate to that, then I don't know if I can relate to you. Because that's reality. Ikvus of the Meshicha. Really lofty days and really low moments. So says of Uri of Strelisk, a Jew has to believe that even if I'm empty from Torah, and I'm empty of Maisim Tovim, and I'm B'diota Tachtona, I'm a low person, and Chav, even if you're the best Jew, you're still an Ikvus of the Meshicha Jew. Which means you're the bottom of the barrel. No matter how good you are today. B'das u'v'yiroch man al-Islam. My mind's all over the place. My actions are not what they need to be. V'afal pichein yo'iz panov l'schazik asmo. Ulitzok zmiros hodu. Like the Mashpi was talking about the other week. The people in those chassidim in that movie, in that new film, right? One of us, sitting at a Shabbos meal, being Michal Shabbos, but singing songs of Kedusha. What is that? Right? It's not a good thing. We're not happy about that. Right? But there's a certain longing that a Jew has that even when I've quit. A Jew who says, I label myself as an off the derech Jew, I'm an ex-chassid. And yet I still want to be a part of something. So we have to have the chutzpah to wake up on those mornings and call out to Hashem, right? Start davening, hodu. Yeah, I'm ready to daven, Rabbona Shalom. Ulamay l'gadol l'nechshav davar zeh, and that's a chashav thing. Ki ikra avodas ha'isha Yisraeli hu is chazkos. Because the most important thing is that a Jew has to be mechazik himself to keep trying. Yismach lev mevak she Hashem. To be trying. The kavanaso the perish chutzpah. Right, what does it mean? Chutzpah yaske. Hainu azus kazos yaske. That this type of chutzpah will increase. Yachoshu ma'od. That chutzpah yaske. Not only chutzpah will increase, but he's saying chutzpah will be increased in value. The value of chutzpah will be high, because Hashem will say, "You've got the chutzpah to keep trying. That's pretty amazing." Hashem says that's pretty remarkable. It's chutzpah, Dick, right? But you're right. Rav Avram Jenachovsky one time said something to he said something. It was like a young child standing there, and he said to Rav Avraham Jenachovsky, was a gadol b'Yisrael. He said, "That's chutzpahdik." He said to him, imagine like Rav Shechter saying something, and like, you know, some like 8-year-old kid being like, "That's chutzpahdik. You can't talk like that, right?" So everyone's like, So Rav Avraham Jenachovsky says, "He's right. Kid's right. Talk of the kid's right. It's chutzpahdik, you know." Sometimes you have to do something chutzpahdik. But you're right. So Hashem says, you get up and put on your tefillin. You get up and daven. You decide one day you're in the base medrash, one day you're like, who knows where you are. Right? Hashem says, that's chutzpahdik. But you're right. Chutzpah Yaskeh, Chutzpah goes up in value. Okay, turn the page, one last thing. In the Sefer Imrei Noam, the top of page Chavtes, in the Imrei Noam in Parshas Mitzorah, he quotes from Rav Elimelech Lezhensk, Ki Yitzahara Hamesis La'adam La'leches Bedrachav Haraim. When the Yitzahara is trying to seduce a person, right? Mesis means to seduce, to lure us in, to do bad things. The same Yitzhahara which pulled you away now comes to you during davening and reminds you about everything you did. And he brings you to sadness. You know how much you rebelled. You know how bad you've been. You know what type of thoughts are in your mind. You know what type of words you've said. Right? What right do you have to serve Hashem? But a person has to work to say, now I'm davening, we can talk about this after. Let's talk about this over lunch. Right now I'm davening. Leave me alone. And that's what we learned. Don't bring your averos into your mitzvahs. Right now I'm serving Hashem, and that's it. He tells a story from Rav Elia Chaim Rosen, who once explained, there was a poritz, in the next paragraph, there was a poritz echad asher, some rich, Gentile landowner. Shenichlas pam lepundak Yehudi. He came into a Jew's tavern to get himself something to drink. Osi Yehudi hayazokuk ma'od lamamun b'chleil hasiyos bito shigil lepirka. And this Jew was desperate. He needed a lot of money to marry off his daughter, who had reached marriageable age. So the poritz kishasiyim shtiyasa, when he finished his drinking, v'halach l'darko shachach sham esur kasmo ubo sekuma magia kedei lachsos es kol haotzos avor bito v'osa. This drunken Gentile left behind his wallet, and there was a lot of money in it. So much money that it would have been enough to pay for the entire wedding, right? And extra and surplus. Haparetz nelem v'lo no de makomo, and the parets, he went, he left. Now this Jew had to make a decision. You know, do I try to return the wallet? It's a mashal. Okay, this is not a choshen mishpat discussion. I'm not telling you. He's using this as a mashal to make a point. He said, should I spend this money? Maybe the guy's going to come back looking for his wallet. He's going to know that it's here, and if I spend the money, I'm going to have these massive debts. I'm going to be in big trouble. So should I spend the money on my daughter's wedding? Should I not spend the money on my daughter's wedding? He can't make up his mind. All of a sudden, his wise wife says to this Yehudi, and she says to him, "Oso parts lo yachsor v'lo yizkor odes hadavar kesef sheyishur." He's not going to remember. Nah, he'll never remember that he left his money here. Hayos v'hu la'olam la'omed shmonesrei. He never davens Shmon Esrei. He's a Gentile. He doesn't daven. Meaning what? He doesn't have time to stop. His whole life, he's so busy. He's always on the move, this parts. Yeah, that he doesn't have time for make a cheshbon and nefesh. He never stops to think. And every day that passes, he'll forget more and more about this wallet. And then he'll come to forget about it forever. Right? This is Bederach Schos. He's saying it jokingly. He's saying that when a Jew davens Shmona Esrei, right, sometimes it gives us a chance to make a cheshbon and nefesh. We're able to do all, we take care of all the things. I don't have time in my day to think about, to arrange my schedule. But during Shmona Esrei, or certainly during Chazar Seshatz, I have plenty of time to think. Right? But I should be thinking about what? I should be about the davening. Yeah. But again, the fact that I'm thinking about things, the fact that things are all of a sudden coming to me at such a time, right, even though maybe Shmona Esrei is not the right place to make a cheshbon and nefesh, but the bottom line is, if things come to you during Shmoneh Esrei, there's a reason they're coming to you during Shmoneh Esrei. Last three lines for today. U'b'sefer Magid Meisharim, and in the Beis Yosef's Magid Meisharim. Rav Yosef Cairo had a malach that used to come and learn with him and tell him things. And it's written up in a sefer called Magid Meisharim. And the Magid Meisharim, he's here a Magid La Beis Yosef. She'samach shavo zaros hamukrachos lofia beis atfila. When you have negative thoughts that come to you during davening, yisrafeim bislavos hakavanah shebetfila. There's a reason they're coming to you. Burn them up with the fire of your tefillah. You ever see someone davening? And they're like shaking their head. You can see like they're like, they're like trying to like reel it in. Their mind's all over the place. And they're like shuckling very hard because they're trying to stay focused. It's because they're being attacked by machshava zaros, by all sorts of thoughts. But in that moment, what they're doing is they're taking that machshava zar and they're burning it up in their tefillah. That's what a malach told the Beis Yosef. There's a reason the Yitzhar is showing up now. And it's giving you an opportunity, again, when you're boreach min avera, when you fix the moment right now, it's not only fixing that, you're fixing the whole past as well. So the Iker is to just keep moving and to keep trying and to keep doing and to have that holy chutzpah to believe that regardless of what I've done in the past, I have a right to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu now. So Mirat Hashem, We should be zochet to not listen to our yetzara. We should be smarter. We should be smarter. We're learning what he's going to do. You know, Pasuk says b'sachbulo sase milchama. The strategy is wage war. Yaakov Meir Shechter is kind enough to give us strategies. Now it's just our job to go out and to battle the amrab mcha, all of the negativity that we've created through our actions, and Emir Tzashem, to be victorious, to win those battles. Okay, shkoyach.